Tonight, airport blackout. A power failure leaves thousands stranded at the world's busiest airport at the height of the holiday season. Flights in and out delayed and rerouted. Passengers frustrated. Firefight, the battle to gain the upper hand in the second largest fire in California's history, as we return months later to another devastated community. Email dispute. A Trump lawyer claims key emails from the president's transition team were improperly turned over to the special counsel. North Korea agent, the man arrested in Australia, accused of trying to sell ballistic missile parts for North Korea. Growing trend for a new generation. Prime real estate means being close to a farm. And Secret Santa superstars giving a whole new meaning to giving.
This is NBC Nightly News with Kate Snow.
Good evening. With the avalanche of holiday travel just beginning and so many Americans headed to airports this week, a massive power outage at the world's busiest hub is having a big impact tonight. The power went out at Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport in Atlanta early this afternoon. That's a live picture from outside the departures area. It left thousands of passengers trapped on planes and inside the darkened terminal. Authorities were quick to say it was not criminal or an act of terror, but more than 800 flights now into and out of Atlanta have been canceled, more than 500 delayed. We begin with NBC's Morgan Radford.
Today, a full ground stop at Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson Airport left nearly 100 aircrafts parked on the runway, none allowed to fly in or out.
I personally thought it was a really big, I don't know, terrorist attack or something crazy because the power was out and phones stopped working. And that was quite frightening.
As international flights were diverted to other airports, passengers were trapped on the tarmac, waiting on board for hours after an electrical issue took down power in the airport's massive terminals. Inside, thousands of passengers waiting at their gates in complete darkness.
Some of the stores here are just pitch black. Yeah, but that's been going on for the past few hours.
The blackout couldn't have come at a worse time.
Today's outage could very well impact travel through the holiday season. It's just really going to be determined by how long the power's out.
A holiday travel season where 51 million people are expected to fly on U.S. airlines between December 15th and January 4th. That's almost 2 million more than flew at this time last year. Atlanta, the world's busiest airport.
I have no idea what I'm going to do. I'm not even sure if I am going to get out of Atlanta today. We might have to sleep here tonight.
Morgan Radford, NBC News, New York.
In California today, thousands of firefighters battled what has now become the second largest wildfire in that state's history, trying to prevent the massive blaze from sweeping into more communities in Santa Barbara County. Steve Patterson has the latest.
Firefighters strike back, directly assaulting the monster blaze, consuming so much of Southern California. The massive Thomas Fire, burning since December 4th, has killed two and destroyed more than 1,000 homes and businesses. It grew even larger overnight, threatening some 18,000 homes.
This is insane. It's the biggest fire I've ever been on.
But this morning, a break in the weather. Red flag winds finally dying down, giving crews a small window to act.
With weather conditions favorable, firefighters are now going on the attack, trying to pare down hot spots like the ones in this canyon right behind me.
More than 8,500 fire personnel have been fighting the fire since it began almost 2 weeks ago. Many are exhausted. This team from Utah has been on the front lines since the few days after the fire broke out, working 24-hour shifts.
You ever seen a fire like this? I mean, this is pretty...
We've been on big ones, but not like this, not with all the homes.
Many here have been away from their families for weeks.
We'll get them home for the holidays is the goal.
Those affected by the fires showed gratitude to the first responders.
A smile and a thanks, and that's really all we can do right now.
And so did some of the area's more famous residents. Oprah tweeting, "God bless every firefighter and their families." And Katy Perry sending a big thank you to all the firefighters and first responders. Meanwhile, today was the final journey home to San Diego for fallen firefighter Corey Iverson, people paying their respects. In a battle raging into its third week, firefighters now hope they've turned a corner.
This fire is devastating. More than $100 million in damage so far. Part of this home reduced to rubble. The fire is now 40% contained, but it is still so large and it's still growing. Kate?
And it has been so long, Steve. Thank you. To get a sense of the lasting impact these wildfires can have, Joe Fryer traveled farther up the California coast to Santa Rosa, north of San Francisco, a community left scarred by a devastating fire back in October.
In California's wine country, the flames are in the past, but a return to normal is still far in the future. Jennifer Carlin Rose's family wakes up earlier these days for the 35-minute drive to school.
Bye, bud. See you later.
A trip that once took just 3 minutes.
Have a good day.
They're still attending their old school, even though their house burned to the ground, forcing them to move to another town.
People have repeatedly said, why don't you just put your kids in school there? And I said, because the kids in school there aren't going through what my kids are going through.
Here at Hidden Valley Elementary in Santa Rosa, a quarter of the students lost their homes. And in this kindergarten class, nearly half are fire victims. Yet most returned, including the son of Matt Park, the school psychologist.
It's about trying to get back to some kind of normalcy.
In all, these fires destroyed more than 6,400 homes. Fire-ravaged debris still litters many of these neighborhoods. For many homeowners, rebuilding will still take another 1 to 2 years.
Just crazy.
June and Jamie Clark lost their house of 38 years. Unlike most of their neighbors, their lot has already been cleared, but the rebuilding process is now a full-time job.
You know, this is like running a marathon and we're a mile in.
As the holidays approach, they're slowly settling into their temporary home, a rental.
Christmas is going to be really hard because normally it's pretty much wrapped around our home.
And I just tell people that, you know, I'm living a day at a time. And that's really what it is.
Still, look closely around this town. You'll find decorated trees standing tall in the places where homes once surrounded them, a sign of resilience.
I think Christmas this year is going to be about being together. Being a family.
Embracing what the fires could not destroy. Joe Fryer, NBC News, Santa Rosa, California.
News tonight involving MSNBC host Chris Matthews, a spokesperson for MSNBC, part of our NBC Universal family, confirms that a female employee was paid a settlement in 1999 after she accused Matthews of making inappropriate jokes and comments about her in front of others. The Daily Caller first reported on the payment, saying the employee was paid $40,000, an amount MSNBC disputes. MSNBC said in a statement, quote, in 1999, this matter was thoroughly reviewed and dealt with. At that time, Matthews received a formal reprimand. Matthews did not immediately respond to requests for comment. A new fight over emails has broken out. President Trump's lawyer claiming that emails from the president's transition team were improperly turned over to special counsel Robert Mueller. But Mueller's team is pushing back. Kelly O'Donnell with the latest.
President Trump back from a weekend at Camp David, as his frustration over the Russia probe surfaced in a new way.
Mr. President, do you believe your transition team emails were improperly taken?
Not looking good. It's not looking good. It's quite sad to see that. So my people were very upset about it.
Surfaced in a new way, with a charge made by the president's transition team against special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation, claiming prosecutors improperly obtained thousands of transition staff emails now being used in the Russia probe.
I can't imagine there's anything on them, frankly, because as we said, there's no collusion. There's no collusion whatsoever. But a lot of lawyers thought that was pretty sad.
Election season to the inaugural. The Trump transition worked in this government-owned building using government-provided email service. But under the law, transition teams are not government agencies. Most of their funding is private. A Trump transition lawyer protested to Congress, claiming career staff at the federal government's General Services Administration unlawfully produced the transition team's private materials, including emails bound by attorney-client privilege, to the special counsel. White House officials stayed out of it.
Thankfully, I'm not in communication with a transition lawyer for the Trump team.
A spokesman for Robert Mueller said, when we have obtained emails, we have secured either the account owner's consent or appropriate criminal process. Credibility is a target for Trump allies, who seized on Mueller, removing from his team a senior FBI agent who exchanged anti-Trump text messages with another agent during the campaign. While Mueller is widely respected,
I do not at all believe that that Mr. Mueller's has been compromised or his investigation.
Some Republicans sound an alarm.
And I think these conflicts of interest jeopardize the integrity of his investigation.
Tonight, when asked, the president told us again he is not going to fire Special Counsel Mueller. But President Trump declined to talk about his phone call today with Vladimir Putin. The Kremlin came out first saying Putin called to thank the CIA for providing intelligence Russia used to stop a terror plot to bomb a cathedral in St. Petersburg. And then later, the White House did acknowledge the call and said President Trump sees it as an example of good cooperation. Kate?
And Kelly, big week this week. The tax cuts vote is to happen, and Senator John McCain is out dealing with cancer treatment. Is the White House worried about his absence?
Well, we talked to the president about this tonight, and he says, of course, he is concerned. Of course, looking back, the president and Senator McCain have had a tense relationship at best. But note the different tone from the president.
I did speak to Senator McCain, and I wished her well. I wish John well. They've headed back. But I understand he'll come if we ever needed his vote, which hopefully we won't. But the word is that John will come back if we need his vote. And it's too bad. It's tough.
The president was referring to the McCains going back to Arizona. Tonight, McCain's office has not discussed his plans. Kate?
All right. Kelly O'Donnell at the White House for us. Police in Australia said today that they had arrested a man and charged him with acting as an agent for North Korea, trying to sell missile parts. It was the first arrest under Australia's Weapons of Mass Destruction Act. Police said evidence suggested the suspect was in contact with high-ranking officials in North Korea. Janice Mackey-Frayer has those details.
This man is accused by Australia's federal police of acting as an economic agent for North Korea, using encrypted communications to broker the sale of components for ballistic missiles to generate cash for the isolated regime of Kim Jong-un.
He's doing it out of a patriotic purpose. I think at the end of the day, he would sell whatever he could.
59-year-old Chan Han Choi had been living in Australia for 30 years. He's accused of black market deals potentially worth tens of millions of dollars.
North Korea is a dangerous, reckless, criminal regime threatening the peace of the region.
North Korea has a long history of skirting international sanctions and is widely suspected of using cybercrime to fund its nuclear weapons program that in November unveiled its latest threat, an intercontinental ballistic missile that Pyongyang claims can strike anywhere in the U.S. Choi was under investigation by Australia's equivalent to the FBI for nearly a year. He'll be back in court later this week in a rare case with high stakes. Janice Mackey-Frayer, NBC News, Beijing.
This was a deadly day in Pakistan, where two suicide bombers attacked a church in the southwestern city of Quetta. Security cameras captured the bombers walking into the church, where one of them detonated a vest filled with explosives. 9 people were killed. More than 50 were wounded. The second bomber's vest failed to detonate, and he was killed by police. ISIS claimed responsibility for that attack. A new era in this country's relations with Britain is emerging, and it may not be for the better. As President Trump prepares for the opening of a new U.S. embassy in London, relations with the U.K. are becoming increasingly strained. Matt Bradley has more from London.
Londoners are already calling it the Sugar Cube, a new American embassy set to open just as the special relationship that's defined American and British diplomacy for decades turns sour.
When Donald Trump dedicates this brand new billion-dollar embassy sometime next year, it'll rank among one of the most expensive in the world. That's a major long-term investment into a relationship that's been suffering lately.
It started well enough. Prime Minister Theresa May was the first leader to visit Donald Trump. She even invited him to a state visit to meet the Queen.
And I'm delighted that the president has accepted.
But the honeymoon was brief. President Trump has attacked May and belittled the popular mayor of London after a terror attack. Last month, the president retweeted anti-Muslim videos from a far-right British politician who's facing hate speech charges.
Retweeting from Britain First was the wrong thing to do.
And some British politicians are even demanding President Trump's invitation for the state visit be replaced by an arrest warrant for hate speech.
If he's allowed to come to this country now, he should be treated as anyone else who breaks the law and charged with inciting racial hatred.
Even worse, some think the president's behavior makes him an unfit partner.
And I think this is what should worry Americans most. There are people in the intelligence agencies and in the higher levels of the state here who do not want to share information with the Americans because they do not trust Donald Trump to either keep that information secret or to use it wisely. Now, that will affect Americans.
Woody Johnson is the president's ambassador to London. He said the special relationship has never been more special.
He took the oath of office to defend Americans and defend American security and American safety. He takes that very seriously. He's going to do it in his own way.
Even if his own way starts new feuds with old friends. Matt Bradley, NBC News, London.
Still ahead tonight, when your backyard is a farm, why more people are planting roots in a new kind of community. Also, bring on the tubas, the offbeat holiday tradition to get you in the spirit. We're back with a sign of the times. It used to be that living near a golf course was proof that you'd made it. Then along came the millennial generation, which sees the world a little differently. Forget the golf course address. More of them are moving into agri-hoods. Carrie Sanders explains.
Just 20 minutes south of Atlanta, the Bacot family lives in a place that harkens back to simpler days. Their community is centered around a farm.
Kale. I want to get the kale.
But the Bacots are not farmers. They're part of a community known as an agri-hood.
Watch your finger.
For Eliza and William Bacot, it's a way to enjoy nature's bounty and benefits.
We were looking for a local farm.
Why were you looking for that?
Well, I work in healthcare, and all I saw was sickness and disease, and understanding how important food was to overall health and well-being.
The families who live in Serenby pay $925 in yearly dues for shares of organic produce grown locally, not trucked in from hundreds of miles away, and they're surrounded by nature.
Studies show spending anywhere from 20 to 45 minutes in nature a day drastically decreases your overall stress levels.
There are now more than 100 agri-hoods across the country, including Olivet, a planned community sprouting up 8 miles from Asheville, North Carolina, near scenic trails and a river.
We have a fully functional four-season farm that allows people to be connected with their food and with the farmer.
So this is all of our lettuce mix.
Farmer Justin Aiello says sustainability is something that appeals to his millennial generation.
I think we're just caring more about where things come from.
As for the Bacot family in Georgia,
okay, let's eat.
A delicious home-cooked meal tonight and every night that starts in their own backyard. Kerry Sanders, NBC News, Chattahoochee Hills, Georgia.
We're back in a moment with our first look at some new arrivals you won't want to miss. Visitors to Disney's Animal Kingdom in Florida are getting their first look at some of the newest arrivals, the first Sumatran tiger cubs to be born at the park. The cubs were born in August, and they're slowly being introduced to their new habitat at the theme park. Sumatran tigers are critically endangered. Fewer than 500 of them are left in the wild. Pope Francis celebrated his 81st birthday today, and he did what a lot of us do. He had a pizza party, and it wasn't just any pizza. This one was 13 feet long, and the Pope was joined by an audience of children. He blew out a single candle in the middle of all that pie. And a holiday tradition right here at 30 Rock this afternoon. Hundreds of tuba players gathered on the rink under the tree for the 44th annual Merry Tuba Christmas. The musicians came from all across the country, providing some festive low notes at the height of this holiday season. Nice. When we come back in this season of giving, we'll meet some Secret Santa superstars.
Hey, guys.
Finally, tonight in this season of giving, there are signs that Santa has been working his magic a little early this year. Across the country, so many people are spreading cheer in unexpected and extraordinary ways. Here's just a look at some of those acts of kindness.
At the Brief Encounter Cafe in Bellevue, Washington, a brief encounter that meant a lot this week. After his usual breakfast, a regular here left behind a note telling the staff when he was 7, he washed dishes and his mom cooked at a diner just like it.
Good job there, Sergio.
Then he signed a $3,000 tip for the staff and wished them all a better Christmas.
They're excited. The boys back there are like, no way, no way.
Another Secret Santa at a Walmart in Millville, New Jersey. Someone paid off $49,000 in layaway items for strangers. Kimberly Green had put things aside for her 9 grandchildren.
Whoever it is, I'm grateful. Like, they're blessed. They've blessed a lot of people.
And a lot of people made one girl's wish come true in Edinburgh, Texas. A teacher posted a little girl's letter to Santa asking for a ball, food, and a blanket. The school now flooded with donations. Giving coming in all forms this holiday season. In Shawnee, Kansas, this police officer handing out cash instead of tickets.
I would like to give you that.
Thank you so much.
Elementary students in Boone, Iowa were busy this week creating paper hugs for a classmate's dad, an Army National Guard staff sergeant about to be deployed overseas.
You want daddy to come home.
And this Santa had a secret identity.
All right, y'all look at mommy real quick and tell her what you want.
I want daddy to come home. I want a dirt bike.
Hey, guys.
The naval officer home just in time for Christmas.
Don't tear up. Don't tear up. That is NBC Nightly News on a Sunday night. Lester Holt will be back in tomorrow. I'm Kate Snow. For all of us here at NBC News, have a great night.
More Americans watch NBC News than any other news organization in the world.